Now, Paddy O'Gowan is with me. Paddy, I don't know if you stopped for any bit of carvery on the way to Sligo. You're at the court down there last week.
Well, I took the train, you know, so you have to go the night before to reach Sligo because the first train doesn't leave till 8 in the morning, so I wouldn't be there till 11:15, half 11 over to the court. So anyway, so I'm there in good time the next morning. Typical mix of public order, that means drink, as we know. Drugs cases, usually cannabis. There was feuding families, cases arising from that, burglaries and, of course, driving offences. Now, Judge Kevin Kilrain, or Kilran, I'm not quite sure how you say that, more than any judge I've ever seen, he tends to engage with the accused person who's maybe might have pleaded guilty. And he doesn't just say, look, come here and talk to me. He actually puts them under oath and questions them about their behaviour. And seasoned Gardaí there said to me they've observed that in Judge Kilrain. It is his style to do that.
Well, is this how is this different, Paddy, from what you would see in
because
other district courts?
He puts them under oath. And like one lad, for example, he was saying, well, yeah, I'm not smoking cannabis anymore. Well, hold on, you're under oath here. I'm reading your probation report. You were still smoking it last month, you know, things like that. And he reminds people that they're under oath. He doesn't just let things go. As I say, he actually swears them in time and time again. And so that actually has...
In other words, it's not just a question of accepting, we'll say, the pleadings made by a solicitor.
The solicitor,
or,
exactly.
The brief, as you'd say yourself.
Yes, the brief.
Say
okay.
That this man has been doing his best and he promises that, you know, he won't...
Typically,
so the judge said, well, you might say that, but let me hear it from the guy
exactly.
himself. That's it.
And not only not hear them, but put them under oath and do it. So, as you say, typically in courts, you get some young man is up for an offence in his brief. His judge, or his solicitor will say, oh, this is completely out of character. He had drink taken. He'd broken up with his girlfriend. A grandparent who is close to had died sometime before. He plays football. I'm not making this up. This is said in courts up and down the land. And typically a judge might say, if it's a first offence, he'll say, OK, let it go. Or he might even question the young man concerned.
Not so Judge Kevin
not
Kilrain.
So judge. And we're always told that they're so contrite, and yet I've seen them outside with their pals and all the kind of young man bravado is there.
Okay, so the cases, Paddy.
So, okay, the case I'm going to bring you is, one of the first cases I'm going to bring you is a person who was brought up with spectacular consequences, well, really surprising consequences. She's about 40 years of age. She was up for a drunken incident in which she slapped a Garda, a woman Garda, among other things. So that's a public order section, whatever the section is. In her appearance, now she looks kind of like a 1970s hippie, you know, sort of rebellious sort of appearance, like heavy jewellery. The sort of person you might see in a health food shop, something like that. Big hair, you know. I'm trying to give a picture, you know.
I'm sure all sorts of people go into health food
but
shops.
But you know what I mean? The sort of person who works there, you know, that sort of... otherworldly kind of, you know, magic charms kind of shop, you know. So she was there and her solicitor was saying, she's very sorry what happened. It was completely out of character. She has no previous other than a drunk driving from 10 years ago. Never before had a public order. She had drink taken. She's very contrite, very sorry. So the judge says, come up here. And he says, and he swears her in. And he says, okay, judge. And he says to her, and I could see when she took the oath, there was something about her manner. You said to yourself, she's going to be a bit rebellious here. So the judge says, do you want to apologise to the Garda for striking her? And the defendant, she says, well, I've already said sorry. And the judge said, yes, but do you wish to apologise in court to the Garda? So, well, she's not here, is she? So I don't see the point of apologising to someone who's not here. And the judge said, well, an apology in court is what's required. No. Up stands the solicitor. Judge, my client really actually would like to apologise. No, she wouldn't, says the judge. She jumped in. The whole court is holding its breath at this stage. Clearly, she's been given the chance to apologise. She won't apologise. Your client has an attitude problem. Convict. 2 months in prison. Suspended. She walked out into the foyer. The whole court like is watching as she goes out, and the solicitor is out saying, you blew that. We can hear him saying it. You know, all you had to do was say sorry. So she came out onto the steps, and as I guess, she's the sort of person who was willing to do an interview, and this is what she had to say.
I was up for slapping a guard. I assaulted a guard. I don't usually do things. I'm not a violent person. It was a one-off, you know. It was a one-off. So it finally came to an end today, and I got a suspended sentence. And they wanted me to apologise to the guard up there, but I wouldn't apologise. I don't want to apologise to that guard.
If you had said sorry, do you think it would have made a difference?
Oh, it would have made a difference, yeah. Oh, it would have made a difference, yeah. I got a suspended sentence 2 months, and it would have made a difference, yeah, definitely. But I'm just too stubborn to say sorry, you know, so I didn't want to apologise.
And I just felt like if I were your solicitor, I would have said, would you not have said sorry? And you would have probably got the probation act.
Yeah, that's it. If I'd have said sorry, I'd have got the probation act. I would have been fine. Yeah. I'd
be tearing my hair out if I were your solicitor now with that, you know. But
yeah, he was a bit pissed off. Yeah.
Are you worried about the effect it might have on your employment prospects or anything like that? Getting a conviction like that?
Not really. I haven't been employed in a long time. Okay. Do you know what I mean? A long time. So, and I don't plan on getting employed. Well, if somebody gave me a job, be great. But, you know, I'm not really worried about things like that, you know. And even going to prison didn't worry me. I'm not bothered.
Were you ever in prison before?
No, but it doesn't bother me.
If you had any kind of, even very minor thing, though, there's the danger then that 2 month sentence would come into effect.
Yeah, anything at all, I have to be careful now and just you know, keep my nose clean and stay out of trouble.
You had no previous, I don't think, had you?
No previous. Well, I had one previous, but it was...
Nothing to do with, like, public
nothing
order.
Nothing to do with public order, no, yeah. No. Drunk driving.
Why did you slap the guard, eh?
No, she just annoyed me. I was really upset. I was after coming out of the pub and the man barred me from the pub, you know, and he just was really, like, aggressive with me and thick, and so he just upset me. And I didn't like the way the girl... She wasn't very sympathetic. And so I just... She just kept telling me to calm down and be quiet and all this. But see, I'm naturally loud, so I just slapped her.
So, anyway, that's the woman of whom the judge did say she has an attitude problem.
And her solicitor.
Now, there was maybe another client you heard about earlier,
yes.
Paddy. Was it an 18-year-old man was maybe more amenable to the apology?
Apology, yes. But as Judge Kilrain said to one young man, he says, you're not very articulate. And that is often the case. The lad of 18, I'd been talking to him beforehand. He went up. His solicitor, as usual, did the speech for him. It was a drunken incident. Judge called him up, as is his style, swore him in. He says, do you want to say sorry to the court? Yeah. No, look, well, that's, you know, he was trying, I'm saying sorry kind of thing. And you could see that's not what was required. And the solicitor speaking up for him. And the judge says, OK, this young man is not very articulate. I can't hold him responsible for that, but he has apologised. OK, then after the case, the young man, I'm talking to him outside and he says, what does articulate mean? And you know, he didn't understand. Like, and a lot of the time you're dealing with people, the judge brings them up and he tries to get them to answer on things that they're quite inarticulate about.
Yeah. You had another case. Was it a family feud?
Oh, there's a family feud there, and it's there was a woman up for brawling, and again she was told to stay away from a particular housing estate, to stay away. And if her children were seen dealing with the other children, the judge would hold her responsible when she was back up, remanded to a later date. But it's quite striking. There was a family feud when I was at Ennis Court there the previous week. I've seen family feuds breaking into violence in the last few months, both at Mullingar and at Longford. So, like, family feud seems to be a part of the landscape now, of the legal landscape all around us. Go ahead. Other cases then. Let me think. Where was I? A heroin addict. This guy was there. And again, one of those inarticulate people. And he had every cliche going. So, oh, well, if the government isn't going to help me and the government is going to put me in prison and nothing has done me any good. And his speech was quite slurred. And I decided I can't broadcast this. But it's occurred to me time and again, people who are not fit to be broadcast are still fit to go up for their freedom. True to form, Judge Kilrain swore him in. And after a moment, he said, have you been drinking? Because he could hear the slurred voice. Now, the man hadn't been drinking. Except that there was no smell of drink from him. I was close to him. But the slurred voice, clearly he was under the influence of, well, he said himself, benzos and possibly medication as well. But the judge, the man was up for not having engaged with the probation services. A simple thing when you get bailed is you're told, will you engage with the probation services? Not too much to ask. There were several cases that day of people who were up for exactly that. And Judge Kilrain said to him, look, he says, if you're not going to help yourself, nobody else can help you, which is exactly my feeling. But the guy, he got ongoing bail and agreed to go with the probation service. But it would depress you, that kind of case. You know, these feelings that there's very little you can do for people.
And then there was an assault case, Paddy.
Longest case of the day. Okay, this one. A man was up, man about mid-20s. He pleaded guilty to an assault in which another young man was knocked unconscious at a nightclub and was hospitalised, needing stitches and dental treatment. Gardaí described the attack as unprovoked. Now, the defence said the accused had no recollection of the events because he had so much drink taken. He had no previous. He was otherwise a good character. He had a job. He played football. He's remorseful. He'd apologised to the victim. And further, the defence produced a letter from the victim saying that he had no recollection of the events and that he accepted the apology from the man who had assaulted him. We were told there's video evidence that would have shown that the man actually injured himself in his fall rather than a result of the blow. So, I mean, the judge had to assess all of that. He says, look, drink is no excuse for violence. And he says, a fit, athletic young man like you, the damage you can do punching somebody, you have to realise. But he took all the mitigating circumstances into account and he fined him €400. And it's funny, I was wondering would there be use of the poor box, and I saw no use of the poor box there. Unlike, say, Judge, your old colleague, sorry, who am I remember? Judge Durkin, who makes ample use of the poor box. Your old law lecturer. Sorry, your old law lecturer. Okay.
Okay, and then, Paddy, well, I suppose another one that's, I suppose, meat and drink to the district court, driving cases.
Driving cases, yeah. You can actually see in people's demeanour whether or not they're used to being in a court. And I'm looking at, say, one woman who's up. She's speeding 134 in a 100 area, but she says she didn't get the summons in the post. Now, I saw another judge there, Jeffrey Brown, just 2 weeks ago, although the man was only doing about 115. He said, look, you didn't get the summons. Are you willing to swear that? I am, judge. OK, dismiss. This woman was brought up and made to swear it. But then Judge Kilrain said, well, that was a very, very high speed. He fined a €30. But you could see she wasn't used to being in court. And there was another man I was watching there, a Frenchman, and he looked quite bewildered. And I said to myself, well, that's a driving case. And sure enough, it was. And his observations to me were much the same as, yeah, you're going to hear from him now, but the way that everybody seems to know everybody in the court, unless you're like a driving offender who isn't usually up. For example, there was one young man who kept stretching his arms and yawning ostentatiously, and the judge lost his temper, but he said to him, Mr. whatever his name, out. I want you out of this court. What are you here for anyway? He wasn't there for any particular reason. He just is there, but he was disruptive. But the fact that the judge knows these people, so you can tell the outsiders, such as this Frenchman, he was up on an insurance case, and well, this was his observations on what happened to him.
It's very strange. First of all, you have to come at 10:30 and you wait for 2 or 3 hours. You see all the case going. Some of them looks like a pantomime in the theater. Everybody knows everybody, so that's pretty interesting. I won't say funny, but pretty interesting to see the case.
You're not used to going in there, though.
No, I'm not used to, and it was the first time, and really I was a bit impressed to see some big case mixed with some little things. Very strange.
I saw your case, but would you describe what happened to you?
Yeah, I was stopped, and they asked me to produce my insurance. And at that stage, I realized, and I had absolutely nothing on me. And I said, maybe I forgot it. I don't used to. In France, you will get calls and calls and calls again to insure your car. I got probably a mail. I was just setting my business, and I said, okay, I forgot it.
Right.
So that's it.
Driving without insurance, then, that was your conviction, I think.
Yeah, it's a huge mistake. Just paperwork and just, okay, you forgot it, you're more focused on something else, and that's it. So,
€300 fine, you paid?
Yeah, yeah, it's not bad.
Would you accept that driving without insurance is the wrong thing to do?
Of course, it's a huge mistake, and I apologise for that.
So that's that man, I suppose, you know, sadder and wiser and regretful,
yes.
And I suppose conforming with the judge's witness.
He's setting up a business in Sligo, that's what he was saying there, so I would wish him the best of luck, and also pay his car insurance, of course. Yes.
Paddy, thank you very much indeed for that report from Sligo Court. We'll be talking football of various kinds after the break.